Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Amen. I trust you, Lord. All right. Today we're going to be talking about, the title is From Ordinary to Extraordinary. From Ordinary to Extraordinary. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you, God. We just thank you for this day, God. Thank you for allowing us to be here, God. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity that you allow me to be up here one more time, God. Father God, we just thank you for this holiday season, God. Thank you for everybody that could make it, God. Thank you for everybody who could make it, that are on the call, God. But Father God, just bless this whole congregation, God. Bless this ministry, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, it's crazy how I was studying this word last night, and when I got home, I could not find my phone. It's not funny. I could not find my phone. And it was crazy because when I pulled in my driveway, I had it, and then all of a sudden, I didn't find it till 7 o'clock this morning. But if I would have had it, I know that I would not have worked on this word to my fullest. So God had to hide my phone to me to really, really focus on this word. So we're going to go to Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. But then also in this chapter, we're going to be kind of going a little bit all over. But we're going to go start off at 11, 6 to 18. And it says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Azurite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou almighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then all this befallen on us? And where be all his miracles, where all our fathers told us of saying, Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into his hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this by might, and that shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, whereof shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is the poorest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. In other words, I am the weakest link. And the Lord said unto them, Surely I will be with you, and that shall smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then shew he me find a sign that talketh with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come into thee and bring forth my present and set before thee. And last verse said, And he said, I will tarry until I come again. So if you've ever seen the aftermath of a hurricane, you know that hurricanes are very powerful. When I say powerful, there have been cases to where you have heard of automobiles that are specifically meant for the ground. Somehow they are not. They're in the air flying, or trees that were planted years ago by our great-grandfather, great-parents, have come down and do massive damage. These are two ordinary things. These two ordinary things are examples of things that you would not consider to be a powerful weapon, but have done some extraordinary things or damage. Just like how a hurricane can take ordinary things and do what we see as the impossible, God will do the same for us. He will take an ordinary person like you and I and do ordinary things or the impossible. No matter what the situation is, no matter what it looks like, or no matter how dark it is, God can turn the impossible to the possible. How do I know? At 8 years old, I was supposed to be dead. I was hit by a car, and the doctor said it was impossible for me to probably make it. 30 years later, here I am standing, preaching the gospel, and still here. When I say hit, it was not hit by like a tap. I was actually hit by a truck. In the hospital for 5.5 months, my parents already made funeral arrangements for me. There was no way I was supposed to make it. Today, I'm going to give you 5 bullet points that you can get from going from ordinary to extraordinary. Now, let's go back in early in chapter 6, and let's look at verse 1. Verse 1 through 5 says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them from the hand of the Midian 7 years. And the hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And it was when Israel had sown, and the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come up Gaza, and left no suits from Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor, I don't want to say the word, nor ass." You see, the people of Israel did evil in God's eyes. And God came and God gave them over to the Midianites. You see, some of the things that we go through in life is not always the enemy's fault. Sometimes God will allow some things to happen for a reason. God would do that just to let him know that he is still in control and that you can always depend on him. The Midianites had the people of Israel in slavery. When the Israelites would be outside planting their crops or taking care of the animals, the Midianites would come and invade their camp, leaving nothing for them to eat. So the people are calling out to God for their deliverance. Verse 10 says, "I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land we dwell, and yet they did not obey my voice." And then as you come to verse number 11, you meet Mr. Ordinary, Mr. Gideon. Now, early in the chapter, I said that the Midianites would come down to invade their crops and land, but it says that Gideon stretched wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, if you know what a winepress is, you know that you cannot press wheat from a winepress. A winepress is meant to produce wine. But Gideon was so smart and so ordinary that he found a way to make sure that the Midianites would not take his wheat. If Gideon can press wheat from a winepress, then I know he can find a way to lead his army to defeat the Midianites. God sent an angel to him and said, "God is with you, O mighty warrior." Gideon has heard about these 3 great miracles have done, but because of the lack of miracles, Gideon felt like God has given up on them. Does that sound familiar? Do you think God has given up on you because things are not happening on your time frame? Verse 14 says, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites, and not sent thee. And he said unto them, O my Lord, where shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is the poorest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt defeat the Midianites." God sent an angel to say, "I heard the cry of my people, and I know that it may be an impossible task, but I heard the cry loud, and clear, and I'm going to use you to free the people. God was going to use Gideon to free the people of against the Midianites. Gideon looks around and says, "Who, me? Do you know who I am? I am a nobody. I have the smallest tribe. Nobody knows me. Nobody is going to listen to me. Have you seen my family? I am the weakest link. Lord, you must have got the wrong person. There is no way you can expect me to do this big role." Which brings to my first point. Number one, God will take an ordinary person like you and I with no experience to do the impossible. You are an ordinary person. How many ordinary people do I have in here? God will take an ordinary person like you with your ordinary self, with your ordinary looks. I know some of y'all think y'all look good. With your ordinary degree, with your ordinary car, with your ordinary house, with your ordinary clothes, and turning impossible to possible. Do you think just because you don't have the title, you cannot do big things? If he can use Gideon, he can use you. Believe it or not, this country could use a lot of more people like you and I. God took a brother by the name of Barack Obama, who was born in Hawaii, raised in Seattle. Parents went through a divorce at an early age. His father died at 21. Even through this at a young age, God still called an ordinary person to do the impossible by making history and being our first African-American president. I was even thinking on my way to church this week how God used me to do the same thing. I'm not president, but he actually used me to do some great things. People told me I was not going to be anything. People said I was not qualified to get the position I have right now, or that I would never get out of high school. But praise God, this ordinary person is doing pretty well right now. God can take ordinary people to use them for his glory. Which brings me to case number two. To go from ordinary to extraordinary, you have to be obedient to the will of God. Verse 25 says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, that my father's young bullock, even the second bullock, 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father have, and cut down the grove that is by." And God said to Gideon to be Israel's deliverer, he immediately asked him to tear down the altar of the god Baal. But doing it, this would test Gideon's faith and commitment to God. See, the people of Israel started getting into idolizing. They were trying to idolize God, the god of Baal. Now, who is this great god of Baal that everyone is talking about? Baal, meaning Lord, was known as a fertility god, meaning he was able to produce crops and get people to produce children. In those days, if you knew Baal, he was looked upon as someone who was in a charge of a prostitution ring. Baal was so awful that to please him, it may have required some human sacrifice, which means killing, or normally that meant the firstborn. And they wanted to idolize. And do you want to see somebody idolized like that? If you know anything about God, we must know that idolizing offends him. You see, God is a jealous God. God's not like anything or anyone before him. So before we go any further, we must ask ourselves, do we have any idols in our lives that is blocking God from taking us from ordinary to extraordinary? Idol does not mean that it has to be in the form of a statue. It could mean your car. It could mean your house. Your career, video games, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, someone you see on TV. It could even be your spouse, or believe it or not, it can be your kids. If this is you, you still have some idols that you are idolizing, then you must tear down the walls and be 100% obedient. You must get in your word more, and you must pray and fast more. Get this. Once you make up your mind that you are not going to bow down to sin, Satan, or your flesh, and you are not going to be a follower for Christ, go ahead and expect to be talked about. Once you made up your mind to be with him at all times, don't expect people to cheer you on. Now, after learning that Gideon has done hath done by tearing down the altar of Baal. The townspeople wanted to kill him, and many of those people were fellow Israelites. This shows you how immoral God's people have become. To make it simpler, everyone who says they're on your side is not on your side. To go from ordinary to extraordinary, number three, be ready for God to bring and give you unlimited power. Verse 34 says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abaziah was gathered after him. You see, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can do anything. You remember the Mario game back in the day? When Mario got that little mushroom, could nobody stop him. He went from 2 feet high to 6 feet high. You see, you like the Mario. When you get the Holy Spirit, you have just about the same amount of power as Mario does. Can't nothing stop you. God will answer doors that you thought were closed. He will fix relationships that you thought were broken. He will qualify you for a position that you thought were you were unqualified for. Verse 35 says, and he sent messengers throughout Manasseh who also gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. Now people want to follow him and meet with him. You see, when you are obedient to the will of God, people will start watching you and want to be part of your crew. Which brings you to case number four. To go from ordinary to extraordinary, make sure you get clear answers through prayer. Verse 37 says, behold, I put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, it is to be dry upon on the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand and have said. I love God because he is so patient with us. Gideon is still testing God. Now he is asking God to perform two miracles just to make sure that it is truly him. How many times have we clearly heard from God and we know it is his voice talking, but yet we are still in disbelief? You know you were called to go back to school. You know you were called to do more in the church. You know you were called to do more in the community. You know you were called to start your own business. And God is speaking loud and clear, like the guy from Verizon saying, can you hear me now? God will speak to you through word and prayer, and also he will send confirmation to either through something or someone. Example, my line brother is the vice chancellor at UNCG. Now, when I say vice, he is actually one below the chancellor. It is funny how God has allowed me to be his returning brother because I have been talking about going back to school forever. Now, I always made up the excuse that I don't think I can go back because of my schedule, my kids' schedule, or I came up with some other excuse. So I'm riding with him one day, and he says to me, have you thought about going back to school? Again, God will use someone or something to answer your prayer. Again, if you fully hear his voice, it's okay to ask for reassurance. But don't get stuck there. Once you hear it, move on it. And it brings me to case number five. To go from ordinary to extraordinary, sometimes God will use an unlikely way or situation to do his will. In chapter 7, Gideon selects his army to go and defeat the Midianites. If everyone please stand for me. Everybody please stand. Gideon started out with 32,000 army soldiers. 32,000. And if I had 32,000 followers, I could take on anybody. Then God goes down to 22,000. So this side sits down. This side sits down. Now I'm stuck with 22,000. 22,000, that's a big cut, but I'm still okay. This side sits down. Now I'm stuck with 300. 300 taking on a whole army taking on a whole army in a war. Why would God put us in this situation? why would God take it from 32,000 to 300? Simply as this, with a God being outnumbered, but there could be no doubt that the victory was God and not man. You know how sometimes we go through something and once we win a test, you forget all about God. Sometimes some of the things that God let us go through does not make sense. But it was not designed for us to make sense. It is coming from God, which is coming from heaven. Have you ever thought that he reduced the number because everyone that's in your circle that's not with you? God is saying to Gideon, if you're going to take an ordinary person like you who is pressing wheat from a wine press, if I'm going to take an ordinary person to do the impossible, then you have to trust me that I'm going to take care of you. In closing, are you surrounded by the right people who is going to support you? Are you surrounded by the right people who is going to call and say, I need you for prayer to me, and they actually pray for you? Are you going to surround yourself by people who see you in a battle and they are going to see you in a battle and they're going to jump in and then pray with you, or are they going to say, I'm going to pray for you from afar away and never do? God's vision for you in your mother's womb was for you to be great, for you to win, for you to do the impossible. How would you respond? And this will take you from ordinary to extraordinary. Amen. Now I'm going to drink my water. This is sermon number 3 for me. And every time, and me and Pastor had a long, long talk. What was that? Before you went to Jamaica, right? So I always, and with this one, he just kind of shut me down to the point I couldn't say nothing else. But he would ask me to preach. And my mind and my mouth would say, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I wasn't called to preach. I was called to serve the community. And Pastor said to me, how are you going to do it if you don't practice? But really got me is that he knows I'm really, really, really big in community. And he says, the first time you had an event and it didn't go your way, did you give up? And I just kind of just like, ouch. Because I didn't give up. I fought harder. I studied harder. I went stronger. So I am, to say this, I am not trying to be Pastor Webb. I am not trying to be a T.D. Jakes. I am me. So the part that I, studying last night, it was be you. Don't be nobody else. Be you. I don't have a 30-minute sermon like some people do, but this one right here came from the heart. It came from the heart. If I can go back, this will probably be my initial, but I had to learn over previous years that you get better throughout the years. I'm headed from ordinary to extraordinary. So at this time, if anybody would like to come up for prayer and want to make 2017 your extraordinary year, please come on up.